This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, friends. I'm here with Dave Bourne.
Yes.
Talking about local issues, local topics, local initiatives, ideas, individuals, and institutions. Thank you for bearing with me yesterday. We went off normal pattern and talked about some of the more cultural things and I rant a little bit. Usually I'm in a great mood, and this is a fantastic Willamette Valley Day.
It is indeed.
It's such a wonderful place to live. So thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about a few good things today and actually do a little bit of education, setting up some of our guests in terms of getting deeper into the woods on some topics. First thing, I want to point out we had great news coming out of Dallas, potential news.
Potentially.
Yeah, Dallas, Oregon.
Okay.
We just had J.D. Shin on a week ago today. No, a week ago yesterday, who is the CEO of the Dallas Chamber of Commerce, laughing about, you know, accidentally getting members or thinking they were joining the Dallas, Texas Chamber of Commerce. But in the newspaper, good news, there's a potential investment going out there. And this is, we kind of hinted around that because a lot of these things that are coming across his desk, and especially economic development at SEDCOR. So there's your first tease. We are going to have Eric, our new CEO at SEDCOR, and that stands for Strategic Economic Development Corporation. So that is the three county region's economic development agency.
That's pretty big.
So anyway, SEDCOR has to keep all these things close to the chest. They can't talk about them. There's non-disclosure. Companies that are considering a move or an expansion don't want their competitors to hear about it.
Sure.
They don't want to alert potential competition for the sites they're looking at, because site selection is ever so important. And in addition to what are the facility requirements and all these other things that go into, you know, employment base. However, it's out of the bag now. So Mint.
How did it get out?
Well, Mint Valley Paper mailed all the neighbors out there and they're a notice saying, hey, we'd like to come to town. We'd like to be your neighbor. And, of course, they're filing and they're going through a city process, a public city process now of getting approvals for what they want to do.
Yeah, that pretty much makes it public.
So the company's name is Mint Valley Paper. And here's, I can't wait to talk to, we'll have to get the Dallas mayor on or something. Or maybe Eric at SEDCOR will have some numbers to put to this. $300 million investment.
Wow.
To put in a paper plant. Right?
Yeah, there's now, a lot that goes into that.
And the first thing you see in the newspaper is a neighbor complaining about, well, this is going to be this, and it's going to result in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smell, noise, so on and so forth. Well, this isn't a plant that is going to produce pulp. It's actually shipping pulp in from other locations and rehydrating and turning into paper product.
So no smell?
No smell.
Interesting.
No smell, very little noise. They plan on having, you know, nice buffering landscape and mitigating efforts to how people are going to get in and out to work so it doesn't impact the neighborhood very much. As an industrial zone land, it's just very exciting for the city of Dallas. So about 120 employees.
That's pretty big.
So for Dallas, that's going to be great. They even said, you know, we'll plan to hire locally. There might be some skill sets, like an engineer will have to go outside and so forth. But a $300 million investment, and what that means is, once they're done, that's $300 million of property taxed.
Right.
How many single-family homes do you have to build?
A lot.
To get that kind of property tax revenue and hit. And that's going to be great. It's going to put people to work. It's going to have a reverberating effect throughout the county and the area in terms of, all right, that plant, it's going to need maintenance people. It's going to need landscape people. It's going to need paving people. It's going to need repair people. The whole nine yards. It's going to employ the people that, you know, work at the plant, of course. But those people are making money. They'll be buying at the restaurants, right? and so on and so forth. It's one of those things that can really make a huge difference to the community of Dallas out there in Polk County. So, $320 million, $300 million. We'll have to get the calculations on that in terms of what that's going to mean to the general fund of the city of Dallas.
That's huge.
The taxing authorities, you know, for Polk County. So you, if you look at your property tax bill, you have all these taxing authorities. The county's collecting it, and well, it's not likely we're going to have the Marion County Clerk on. Maybe we'll have the Polk County Clerk on.
Yeah, he'll talk.
So the county's collecting on behalf of the school district's going to have more revenue because of this. Mm-hmm. Now, we're assuming that it's going to go through because not all the jurisdictional processes are done. But if it goes through, school district will have more money. Dallas will certainly have a lot more money. Polk County will have more money. And all the taxing authorities out
there. So all the roads over there will be perfect.
They'll be paved in gold. Yeah. Anyway, that's very exciting. And I knew that, you know, people have been hinting that there might be exciting news coming out of Dallas or into Dallas. And there is also hints of an announcement like this.
You know,
in the same vein as far as good news, investment in the community, and more jobs in the Marion County side. And
really?
Perhaps in the, even in the city of Salem side. But all they can do is tease us.
Of course.
All they can say, hey, we think this is going to come to fruition. It's going to make an impact. But we can't tell you what.
Nice.
We can't tell you.
What happened with that truck rail thing? Where did that go?
The committee recommended.
I thought it was going to go to Brooks, right? Brooks was one place?
Brooks was the effort, and we had Kevin on, and
Kevin Mannix,
yep. And they were vying for it. Looked like a very strong proposal. The committee recommended that it go to, come on, help me out here. Millersburg?
Yes, that was it.
So
Millersburg. Okay.
So that's in the region.
That's in the region.
It's
just more money for
Marion County. And,
is that Polk County? No?
It's not Lane County. I don't know my counties. I know where Mary and Polk are.
Yeah,
I'm really good at that because that is our reach here on Newsmakers. Anyway, so, you know, that going through is still going to be good. It's going to be a transfer. There were concerns with the committee that it was too close to Portland, and they didn't feel it was going to be economically viable. In other words, it was going to operate at a profit.
Really?
So maybe we'll have Kevin call back in and explain this or come back and explain. I don't know that the decision is final because that's the committee and it makes a recommendation to the legislature is my understanding.
Oh, things change all
elsewhere.
The time there.
So that will, we'll see if they concur with the committee's recommendation.
Okay.
Right. So we'll get an update on that. But either way, it'll be a nice employment base and it's the effort to get 18 wheelers carrying those cargo boxes off the highway and not going through downtown Portland to get up to Washington, deep sea ports. Is a good idea. I'm going to put them on rail.
Mm-hmm.
More economical, less traffic, and all that good stuff. So
bad for the truckers, though, right?
Potentially, I guess.
I mean, they get paid to go all the way to Seattle and back, but
true. One of the worst things with the truckers is people's unwillingness really to take some of those jobs. It's hard to find
That's true.
Truck drivers.
Yeah.
They're in high demand in a lot of different venues. In terms of,
and well, then there's the truckers that have to deal with speedsters who cut them off, like the accident here in Kaiser yesterday.
Mm.
That tanker truck
and I-5
was cut off by a couple of speeders on I-5, and he had to slam on his brakes, which locked him up, and he ended up tipping over on the lanes and spilling all kinds of gas, causing a huge mess this morning.
Your traffic apps were like all red.
All
red. Kaiser going all the way up north.
Past Woodburn.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Also in the news, because we were talking about this, is the school board. It's open. There's some elections coming up, and if there's some open seats and some people are running for re-election. So we talked about Chuck Lee, who also will be on our show coming up. Chuck is a sitting member of the school board. He will file for re-election, represents Kaiser. And Chuck will be in here at KYKN Studios to talk about C-Tech. And I know we've talked about it in the past, but we're going to get the nuts and bolts of what programs are you offering? Are the kids getting hired?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where we're going to measure the success.
That's kind of important.
We talk about graduation rates are skyrocketing of people at C-Tech, career technical high school. that all of the Salem-Keizer high schools participate in. Are the kids getting hired? And how they're making, and what's coming up, which programs are you going to add to this? Because it's designed to be added to each year. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and try to differentiate for everybody how tax policy in the region and nationally tries to incentivize this kind of investment that we're seeing in Dallas with enterprise zones, with urban renewal, and with a new opportunity zones created by the Trump administration. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, where we're talking about local issues and local happenings, things that affect your life, your quality of life, and your pocketbook here in the Mid-Valley. Thank you for coming back to us. So we were talking about the potential Mint Valley paper investment in Dallas over here in Polk County, $300 million facility to process paper pulp, easy for me to say, paper pulp into actual paper. That's going to be huge. And I wanted to touch on, because we had the mayor on, Mayor of Salem, I should say, because the mayor of Keizer will be on next week as well. We're going to have Kathy Clark on.
Yeah.
We've been missing her. The mayor of Salem on, and we're talking a little bit about urban renewal, and I asked him to come next week or the week after and talk about some of the urban renewal areas in Salem, and there's a number of them, and how they're working, what their plans are, how much money they are, what the hurdles are. There's extraordinary amount of money freeing up downtown, and that would be quite a discussion for the policymakers, including our favorite city councilors.
How is the money freeing up downtown?
Great question. It's like I prompted you to say that,
yeah,
but
right?
I didn't. The conference center, the convention center, is being paid off. All the bonds that were issued,
okay,
$30 million, a little over $30 million. $32 million, we're done paying for it. And so we no longer have to service that debt, which leaves capacity in the urban renewal area to spend money on something else or to rebond for another big push for downtown improvements.
Big parking garage, maybe.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, wouldn't
it? That's a thought. I don't think that's going to get by our current city council, who hates the automobile and wants us all to get out of them and walk.
Yeah, so. Still got to park your car somewhere. Just saying.
All right, so urban renewal. Let me set that aside just for a minute, because I want to talk about the new tool. It's called an opportunity zone. It was part of Trump's tax bill, and it's kind of exciting in terms of incentivizing people to build and renew and invest in areas in America and in Salem that could use a jolt.
Sure,
right. That
sure.
could use. Some investment and try to boost up opportunities there. So the opportunity for the landowner, for the developer, for the person who's going to invest and bring something to the community is you build this thing, you hold on to it for 10 years.
Really?
Yep. And if you hold on to it for 10 years, when you sell it at hopefully a profit is the name of the game when you're dealing with real estate.
And, right.
If you were to sell it after 10 years, you don't have to pay the government capital gains.
What? That's now, cool.
That is huge.
That is big.
There are a lot of tools that the government has actually to incentivize us to do things. And it's all over the board. It's one of the reasons why the IRS code is so thick. And
so quick question.
Yeah.
Will the government remember this 10 years down the road? They tend to change things quite a bit.
That is a very good question. Be sure to call your
I would get that
US
in writing.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it was code at the time that you built your building.
Yeah.
So, especially, but the thing is, if it works and it gets, I mean, there's Salem and Salem has needs and we all want great things to happen in Salem. And then there's Compton and there's places that are the ghost towns we were talking about.
Right. Not too far away, too.
Where there's an opportunity zone. So they're being identified for renewal. And, you know, there's a map. And if you're in there, then this qualifies.
Nice.
So That's enormous in terms of incentivizing somebody to go ahead and do that, because at the end, there's more profitability because you're not paying the capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
What the community gets out of it, what the public gets out of it for having sacrificed, you know, going into the public coffers, is somebody coming and investing in the community. So
creating jobs.
That corner that we're talking about on Commercial Street, the former site of the McMahon's building, there by Ladd & Bush, U.S. Bank branch, and Pioneer Trust Bank, right there. And if you've downtown at all, you know it. They're talking about 138 housing units.
Wow.
You know, small, low-impact housing units for workforce housing, for people who...
Apartments or condos?
Apartments is, I believe,
okay,
the proposal. That's in an opportunity zone, and that's an opportunity where it pencils out, you know, and it's being offered by the U.S. government, so it doesn't have to come out of the urban renewal, or the city doesn't have to come up with incentives.
Hmm.
So there's a number of tools. We're going to talk about them, but that's the newest one. That's pretty creative.
Right.
So if you're thinking about building a commercial building, if you're thinking about building, look for opportunity zones. Contact your economic development people in your county or your city. Because even at Independence has an economic development staff person.
Yes.
So it's 10,000 people, but they have an economic development staff person. It's really critical to make sure that people are investing in your community, because if you're not growing to some extent, you are dying. That's the part that's missed on the no growth people.
It's right.
There is no such thing as no growth. You're either growing, and there's healthy and unhealthy, but you're either growing or you're deteriorating on your way to becoming a ghost town, or you're dying to a place where people don't want to be anymore.
So status,
you're not growing. It's because there's not quality of life that people want to be here.
Right. So status quo, not good.
Right. You need to have growth. Anyway, so opportunity zones. Another one, it's an older tool. It's called an enterprise zone. It has also some tax abatement. And actually, I'm just going to punt that one until next week when we get Eric on from SEDCORC, as he can explain it better than I can.
Okay.
I just know enough to be dangerous on enterprise zones. But I know there have been some incredible things that have happened in Marion County using enterprise zones. GK Machine is an example right up here in Donald. So create was able, I believe that's an enterprise zone, and it gives them an opportunity to build, and they have more cash flow during those startup years and after those incredible, risky, borrowed money,
right,
to go and build something in Donald. And then they get an abatement. In other words, they get a pass on their property taxes for a certain number of years. All right. That's all I'm going to say about enterprise zones. It's an older tool. It's still in existence. It's still really viable. And we'll have Eric maybe just explain those in more detail. All right. Now we're going to start on urban renewal a little bit.
Okay.
How much do you know about urban renewal?
Very little.
Yes, very little, and probably more than the average citizen. That's the thing.
True.
And it's such
you hear a lot about it, but
you do.
They don't explain it.
Yes, indeed. So that's our job here at Newsmakers.
Okay.
Because it affects, honestly, it affects our pocketbooks to a certain extent, and absolutely affects our quality of life. All right. So let's bear it down to the simplest example we could.
Okay.
You own a house, and the house pays $1,000 of property tax.
Okay.
We're going to make your house an urban renewal area. So we're going to draw a line around your house.
Oh, boy.
It's now an urban renewal area. You pay exact same property tax bill you would otherwise.
Okay.
Right? It's $1,000. And the next year, it's $1,000 plus 3%, which is how property tax goes up in our area.
Good to know.
Yeah, because of the tax reform, it can't go up by more than 3%. But typically, except after the Great Recession, most of us see it go up by 3%.
Okay.
All right. So what happens to urban renewal? We've labeled it an urban renewal district. The city has. So that $1,000, as we know, some of it goes to the school district. Some of it goes to transit. Some of it goes to Chemeketa. Some of it goes to hospital bonds or whatever it all goes to, right? That amount of money is still going to flow to all those jurisdictions. It goes to Marion County. That's everybody who gets part of your $1,000 of tax.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Now it goes up 3%. Mm-hmm. And the next year it goes up 3%. Oh, and then you put on an extension. And so you add it to your house. Now your house is worth more. You pay more in property tax. Maybe it jumps up by 15% because there's a new evaluation, a new assessment. Right? Okay. Suddenly you're paying $1,500 in property tax. Same amount you would pay otherwise.
Right.
However, the difference between the $1,000 you used to pay and the $1,500 that you're now paying goes to the urban renewal budget. It goes to the urban renewal and not to all those other jurisdictions.
What?
So that is how it affects the county and the school district and so forth. Okay. So the increment, they call it increment financing. So the amount that it grows gets shaved off and reserved to spend for the goals of the urban renewal area.
Creative math. Who thought of that?
It does get complicated.
What person sits in their office and goes, hey, this guy put an extension on his house. We got $500 more.
All right. So now let's put it into real life because it's never a house. It's going to be an area.
Okay.
So Fort Salem downtown has an urban renewal district. And there's a line drawn around it. And it's in the box. And everything that exists inside the box, the boundaries, we say district like it's supposed to make sense to people, but district is really just a boundary, right?
Right.
When you talk a school district, it's you draw a big circle all around Salem Kaiser, right?
Yeah.
So now you have a border around downtown. Every $1,000 that was being paid property tax continues to go to the underlying jurisdictions, but all of the growth gets shaved off, and that money is used. That money is used to accomplish the goals of the urban renewal area. Okay.
So
it's a very complicated law. I mean, they have to stay within, there has to be a plan.
Right.
The plan has projects. It gets very in depth because they do put brackets around it. It can't become a willy-nilly slush fund.
Right.
However, you can amend the plan. So like the plan downtown was when it was set, we're going to buy property and we're going to create the Salem Center. We are going to do Riverfront Park. We're going to increase X, Y, and Z, right? These are the goals, and there's goals in each one of them in Salem. So as property gets redeveloped, as increases in property tax happen in the in an urban renewal district, shaved off, and that revenue, let's say in our example where you're paying $500 more, they're not going to spend the $500. They're going to bond it. They're going to say, hey, we have $500 a year now, and we have a big project, and they'll take that $500 and use it to pay off bonds because maybe they can borrow, you know, $100,000.
Sure.
Except in the Salem urban renewal areas and the Kaiser utilized this tool extremely well years ago. That's how River Road got improved. They put the utilities underground, and they improved the streetscape all along River Road. And you know what? Everyone's property values went up because the city invested in the infrastructure.
Yeah, that was important.
And that's a way to get it done without having to do a massive bond measure or this or that. So as soon as they property values go up to a certain extent and there's more money getting diverted to the urban renewal area, they can establish that they have a revenue stream and they bond against the revenue stream.
So another complicated question. Is that why they're saying that they don't have enough for police, fire, schools? Because the increments that your property taxes are going up are being shaved off, so the city is not getting that increase.
That's an excellent question. Let's tackle that after the break.
Okay.
You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave at 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Hey, hey, welcome back.
This segment of Newsmakers brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Thank you, Dave. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're getting a little deep and trying to educate you all.
In the weeds.
In the weeds. Urban renewal, but it's so important and to understand what's going on and who's going to make the decisions and how. I mean, we're talking about a lot of money.
Right.
And a lot of different areas of town. So let's.
But it makes my eyes roll back in my head.
All right. I'll try to not do that.
But you were explaining during the break, and this needs to come out here on the air. So when an area is designated an urban renewal center, mm-hmm. the rise in the property taxes, whatever, gets siphoned off for projects that the urban renewal does, but eventually it goes away. Is that right?
Indeed, because the projects...
But how long? Five, 10?
Depends on the length of the project and how long it takes
to raise
for
the
urban renewal area to start being viable collector of you know, the tax increment.
So that could be 10, 20 years.
Again, oh, yeah. Yes, they're long-term projects.
So then the things that we rely on the city to give us, police, fire, schools, parks, roads, is all siphoned off into this urban renewal for a period of up to 20 years. Hence, they don't have enough money to operate because they're not keeping up with inflation. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I didn't say that.
No, but that's what happens when you siphon off money in the property taxes to an urban renewal project.
Both the city, if it's the city urban renewal area, and the other taxing jurisdictions do sacrifice those increases in property tax for a period of time.
And then
it does not go to the general fund. It's money that is kept out of the general fund and used for urban renewal. So not everybody loves urban renewal. I'm a fan because I've seen what it does, and I see that it creates more property value and ultimately a higher tax base for everyone.
But it takes a long time to do that.
Yes, it does. It's not, it's not a lightning fast
process. I don't have that kind of time.
So let's,
do it in 5 years or less.
Yeah, it might be a challenge. 5 years or less. I don't think we can do that because you're selling bonds that might be 10, 15, 20-year bonds to create something. So let's look at a success story, right? Fairview Industrial Park in Southeast Salem. So there was no employment base there. Mm-hmm. We didn't have what we have now within this huge long street and side streets with all these employers there and taxable buildings and so on and so forth. That was created by an urban renewal area. So all those things were built. Investments are there. And you've got, Yamasa is out there making soy sauce. And I've toured that. Wow. Very interesting. Very delicious.
Might have to check that out.
You have all the way down that line. All right. There's an argument that said that would not exist without urban renewal. And today, even though the urban renewal area is still open, it is not holding back any of that money from the general fund. It's all just flowing because they've already completed the projects.
But how long did it take, though?
I don't know. That's not the point. The point is all of that taxation base would not have existed. And so now the urban renewal area still exists. However, it is not withholding any of its tax income. It's all flowing to the school district, to Chemeketa, to the county, to the city's general fund.
Okay.
So
there's
in the long
good
run,
side.
Sometimes you have to invest in your community and you have to silo a set of funds to get something done. And there's a lot of things downtown we could point to. Another great example is north of downtown. We have near Market Street and Broadway, that whole Broadway district, urban renewal. It started when Mike Swaim was when Mike Swaim was the mayor, I believe. But where the movie theater is, Salem Cinema is, and there's a bunch of live workspaces in there. And that behind it is some townhouses and some, Well, then across the street, and you've got another building. It used to be, I still call it the YWCA building, but it's not that anymore. And then you go up another block and cross the street in Broadway Commons. And it was about $30 million invested over a very short period of time. Private investment came in. Land was able to be purchased by the urban renewal area to aggregate anyway to incentivize and make these things happen. That whole neighborhood has changed. The investment in there and what have you. Great success story in a use of urban renewal. In Salem, so we have a downtown district. We've got a West Salem district, which is a whole conversation, maybe a show in itself, especially in how it's going to be impacted by the lack of bridge infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
We've got one they call North Gateway, which is the Portland Road area, and certainly an area of long need and was long neglected. One that's near and dear to my heart is on McGillcrest, which is going to be a very important piece of, in the middle of town, industrial neighborhood. McGillcrest is a civic embarrassment. That road is crumbling on the sides. No sidewalks, no curbs, no bike lanes.
In the center of town?
Right in the center of town.
Ugh. That is an embarrassment.
Not to be confused with downtown, but it's it's in the industrial area south of Mission Street.
Yeah.
And when I was there, we did put together an urban rural district for McGillcrest. So think between 12th Street and 25th Street, really in sorely need of infrastructure. And so now on that street, we have the Social Security Administration's there, the VA Administration's there, and we have potentials for development and industrial and more employment base, but we need the streets and the connectors to be improved. So that is still coming. We're still trying to get enough taxable base. We're talking about the increment to be high enough to borrow enough money to do the whole project. It's in a flood zone, so that's an issue for property taxes, and not property taxes, but values in that area. What can you build there? What can you not? And how much is the land worth if it can be flooded? And you've got an intersection with the railroad, which makes things more expensive. So all of those things make the McGillcrest industrial area very problematic to come up with enough money to make that sector work. But we need it. We need it out at Mill Creek Industrial Park on Cordon Road. That's going to get built out. I mean, before too long. There's so many things happening in there now with Amazon, of course, and FedEx is out there and Home Depot's out there, and there's a few more being built. And now we're at a place where parcels that are not yet built up or spoken for, we're going to need to put the infrastructure in there and water and sewer, because then Salem will suddenly be very, very low in industrial land. And that might be something we dive into with Eric Anderson from SEDCOR when he's on. So we're getting a little off topic, but anyway, that's how the tool works in urban renewal. Now, politically, in this region, and it's pretty common, the same members who are the city councilors are all the urban renewal district representatives, right?
Okay.
So same decision makers, which makes sense.
Right,
it makes sense. It's just frightening given our current mix of city councilors. In terms of they're going to be the ones deciding what to do with a lot of our neighborhoods and a lot of our money.
Mm-hmm.
So now you understand urban renewal. I hope our listener understands a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
It is very complicated.
But it is. Okay, so I'm a proponent, and I'm sure it can be abused, but we've seen it in Salem-Keizer used responsibly. There are limits around it, so I want everybody to understand there's limits in state law. The cities have to put brackets around it. There has to be a written plan. It needs to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like, hey, we want to add something to the plan without going through a process.
So nope,
it is not a willy-nilly slush fund. And it's, you know, it's a somewhat involved process at that. So it's not something that you would expand without a due process.
So some of the things that they would build would be parks or build partials that for, you know, new businesses or new apartments or new things like that.
Yeah. There are people who believe that urban renewal should really just involve infrastructure. So
that would make sense.
Water, sewer, telecommunications, you know, electrical
lights.
Power capacity. I know in some of the projects in downtown Salem, electrical capacity is an issue in terms of where PGE has the ability to expand. I mean, that was actually, we're going to talk. We can bring that up with Alan Kostick when we have him on Newsmakers in a couple of weeks.
Well, they were talking about expanding that when they redid the sidewalks in downtown, right?
Sidewalks, roads, infrastructure.
Like down, like putting it under the sidewalks.
Oh, so and I don't know if they're planning on using urban renewal money or streets.
No, that would be what it would be for, right?
Potentially, if it's in the plan. You can't just add it to the plan.
Can anybody see the plans?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you go to cityofsalem.net and look up urban renewal and see. And there's all these different urban renewal areas, and each one has a specific plan.
Okay.
And then there's some, you know, prioritization. On Portland Road, it's going to be a big discussion and has been a big discussion for the last few years. We have capacity. This is the limit of our money. Unfortunately, some people want to spend it on beautification. Some people want to spend it on sidewalks and curbs. And some people want to put it in infrastructure that would create an ability to have more investment, say, along the railway. So more industrial investment, mm-hmm. more commercial investment, because the whole goal is to raise the property values in the area.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
So in its purest form, the taxing authority, let's say it's the city, comes in and they do what Kaiser did. They underground the utilities. They beautify. They put in so that the River Road works for cars, for pedestrians, for bikes, and everyone's street front looks better, and the street lights, or whatever it is that they did. And it's just infrastructure only. Then you'll have people that argue, no, absolutely, that Riverfront Park raises the property values of the entire downtown area.
Yeah.
So that's not a hard and fast answer for you. You have purists, and you have people who have a more expansive definition of what could potentially be included in the plan.
Yeah, you don't want to get too fancy.
Yeah. All right. So that is the urban renewal tool, and it's a trade-off. We trade off getting more money right now into the general fund for the potential of huge growth and eventually closing the urban renewal area at some point in the future and not having the increment shaved off to be used for the project.
We can only hope.
So at McGilchrist, here's an example. There is only one project. It's McGilchrist Road. There's only one project. There's not 50 projects. You can't add, oh, but we're also going to do some stream improvements. We're also going to do a railroad. Da, da, da. There's only one project.
Just the road.
And that's good. That's good for us taxpayers, and it's good for the public policymakers that they can't just decide, hey, I've got a pet project. Well, hey, why don't we bring this into the urban renewal?
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So eventually, like Pringle, wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago or so, there was a Pringle urban renewal area, and that's what created the downtown chase. Everyone, if you've ever walked along the creek downtown, and the chase that goes through, and it's unobstructed, and the water flows into the Willamette, and all that was created with urban renewal dollars. Civic Center, the library, the Pringle Park area, urban renewal dollars, and eventually those projects were all completed, and they stopped deferring the revenue, and it went into the general fund again.
Nice.
But the argument is the general fund is much healthier because they did that, and our community is long-term better off.
Okay, you made a good argument.
All right, that's it. We got to break one more time, and we'll come back and finish up our noon hour. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. Thank you for joining us. And I want to remind everybody at KYKN website, you can find Newsmakers and podcasts of any of our previous shows. Or if you ever want to share one of our shows with somebody who needs to hear the message, please do so. You can find it, the podcast for all of the shows, and send them a link. So encourage that. I also want to, sometimes we're looking for ideas, things to talk about and flesh out in the community and talk with you about. And we have a news partner in Salem Reporter, a new addition to the community I'm quite fond of, that does in-depth reporting and investigative reporting. Like, America does not see very much anymore.
That's true.
So I don't get paid to say that, but Salem Reporter, I am a subscriber, I'll tell you that. And as soon as I was exposed to that, I did.
You were like, wow.
Not very expensive.
No.
And there are in-depth articles that if you really want to be in the know, you know, they're trickling it out, and they're fleshing out the whole thing. They're not, just soundbite articles.
Yeah.
They're not USA Today, which I don't want to slam them because I like reading the USA Today. I like little nuggets and news and this and that. But you get a nice article of what's going on in the community, and they're going to flesh out both sides. And we had the publisher on.
One of our first shows.
Les Zeitz. Les Zeitz, Salem Reporter. Anyway.
So our email. You want to give that out, too.
For our show?
Yeah.
Sure. It's kyknewsmakers@gmail.com. kyknewsmakers@gmail.com.
There you go.
So tell people about us and tune us in or listen to our podcast, because we're talking in depth about things that affect us here in Marin County, Salem, Kaiser, Polk County, good news about Dallas today. And we're talking about urban renewal. I hope we didn't take any questions on air, but I hope it helped. Because some of these public policy decisions, honestly, are really, really important. And we're talking a little bit about how downtown is going to get this influx of cash, because all the money that is being used that was used to build the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
The convention center is paid off.
So their bonds are paid off, so they freeze up cash.
Yes.
Okay.
So which is going to require an amendment, probably, and another process to determine what are you going to do with that money, what will be the projects that are included in the plan and not included in the plan.
Another parking structure.
I like that idea. And if we want that, then we need to propose it to City Council.
Do they have a parking structure for that building?
Oh, yes, for the convention center. They do underground. It is during big events, especially multiple events, it gets full. Across the street, actually, is another parking structure that the city owns, free parking again.
Yes, I parked there before. Okay.
And actually, Catty Corner Cross, there's another parking structure, Pringle.
There is an empty lot near there, though, that could be built as a parking structure. Do you know where I'm talking about?
No. No?
I think it's just a paid parking lot. It's like overflow parking right now, but they could build a parking lot on top of that.
Yeah, I think there's potential for downtown, and we're gonna eventually
like
need it. If we're going to have
stories. People
live downtown, more people live downtown,
and
continue to have a really vibrant central business district, we got to have a place to put the cars.
Well, yeah.
And you're going to have to convince the city councilors that it's okay for people to have cars.
Ask them next time you see them.
Maybe.
How did you get to the meeting today? Did you bike down?
Their electric car.
Well, it's still a car.
I'm not a fan of Tom Anderson, but I will tell you that he does walk and bike.
That's one.
Life, but
the 99% of us drive a car, whether it be electric or not.
You're still driving a car. It doesn't give people license to tell them not to have a car or to make them miserable
in
the car.
Again, that's not their job. We've talked about this before.
All right. We got a full show tomorrow. Steve Belshaw. And Dan Wellert, Steve Belshaw is with the City of Salem Police, and Dan Wellert has been doing a great job as a volunteer for the Police Foundation. So they're going to be on tomorrow. We're going to talk about the car show. Great guests coming up next week. So be sure to join us for Friday's show. It'll be interesting. We love the Salem Police and interested in talking about the Police Foundation and the good work.
Yeah, they have some kind of event coming up.
And next Tuesday, we'll have the mayor back, and we'll grill him on some of the projects that are in these various zones that he thinks are imminent. Have decisions been made on the Portland Road area, how it's going to get spent? What's going to happen to West Salem, and does the death of the bridge, potential death of the bridge next Monday night?
God, I hope not.
Don't kill our bridge. Don'tkillthebridge.com, right?
Yeah, don't kill the bridge.
Monday night, the 11th, City Council, show up. Get a button and let them know. If you can't make it, then email them. That's about it. We're going to get on that that in for today. And I hope
we still got the mention of the bridge in there.
Understand urban renewal a little bit better and how impactful it is. Thanks for joining us, the Newsmakers from 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.